From NPR News, it's Day to Day. And as we just heard, tomorrow night, President Obama will make his first address to a joint session of Congress. But please do not call it a State of the Union address. Here to explain why is NPR's political editor, Ken Rudin. Hi, Ken.
Hi, Alex.
So it's the beginning of President Obama's term. He's going to the Capitol to address the House and Senate. And yet this is not a State of the Union address. Why not?
Well, first of all, it could be a State of the Union address if Barack Obama decided to call it that. A lot of it is about semantics, and I don't mean to be accused of being anti-semantic. But what it is really that usually a first-term president wants to let the nation know what is on his agenda. So, for example, when Jimmy Carter spoke to the nation in April of 1977, all he wanted to talk about was energy policy. When Eisenhower was first elected in 53, he didn't want to give a State of the Union either, but the Republicans had been out of power for 20 years, out of the White House for 20 years, and he wanted to give a State of the Union address. John Kennedy gave two State of the Union addresses in 1961, the year he was sworn in. But for the most part, presidents like to focus on what they need to tell the American people. Barack Obama wants to talk about the state of the economy, just as Ronald Reagan did in 1981, the state of the economy. And Bill Clinton, who was elected on The Economy Stupid, gave his first address to Congress in 1993 on the economy, but not a State of the Union.
You mentioned Bill Clinton. There's an interesting story there, one about the teleprompter. Enlighten us.
Well, it's actually really happened. This is September of 1993, and Bill Clinton gave a speech to a joint session of Congress trying to promote his health care policy. And what happened is on the teleprompter, it had an old speech, and I'm not sure if it was a George H.W. Bush speech, his predecessor, but what happened, it was the wrong speech. So Bill Clinton didn't bat an eye, sat at his desk, and went on to read the speech, or at least most of it recite from memory, which is pretty remarkable. Bill Clinton's probably one of the few presidents in history who can get away with that, and he did.
Back to the overall format, Ken. The Constitution requires the president to report to the Congress, but apparently it doesn't specify too much about how that's done or when that's done. What does the Constitution say?
Well, the actual words are the president shall from time to time give to the Congress information about the State of the Union. So presidents, at least since Harry Truman in 1947, presidents have been giving them every year. I mean, go back in history, George Washington and John Adams gave an address in person in Congress. Thomas Jefferson gave it in writing. Then no president gave it again until Woodrow Wilson in 1913. But nobody called it a State of the Union address until Harry Truman in 1947. And for the most part, it's been every year. But the tradition usually is that a president doesn't have a, quote, State of the Union address in his first year because he is just learning about what the problems are. For the most part, when they do address Congress, they want to focus on a specific issue like Jimmy Carter had with energy, like Presidents Reagan and Clinton and now Obama want to do with the economy.
Finally, Ken, there's a bit of a sport to counting certain words that pop up over and over again in these speeches. For instance, last year, the word Iraq came up. President Bush used it 39 times. Any guess as to what President Barack Obama's most frequently used word might be tomorrow?
Barack Obama is, of course, known for the word change. We heard it a lot during the campaign. We heard it during the inauguration. But I suspect, given the dire economic straits that the country finds itself in, given the fact that President Obama has talked about tremendous sacrifice, I suspect sacrifice will be a word you'll hear a lot.
We'll be counting. Ken Rudin is NPR's political editor and author of the blog The Political Junkie. Thanks, Ken.
Thanks, Alex.